Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Man, no shots for the Yankees. They're sleeping. They got to get their rest. They got smacked and embarrassed us again. But on a night where the whole country was united watching one thing, I got to lean into a guy that we already mentioned. No, not Donald Trump, not Joe Biden. He's slow neck. Noah Lyles, he's not a slow neck. This guy is fast. This guy's super fast. He ran a 2010 200-meter dash, and he's going to advance. His best times are more around 19.4. He's even running 19.3. He is going to put the United States on his back. And I think when we first heard of this guy, if you're not familiar with him, he talked about, you know, the NBA, when they say they're world champions, or baseball, they say the World Series, they didn't play against the world. They played against the United States. Me, I'm competing against the world. Because obviously when he looks in the lanes next to him, he's competing against guys from all over the globe. My Casamigos Big Shot of the Night goes to a big Yu-Gi-Oh fan. This guy literally has Yu-Gi-Oh cards with him while he runs. That's like his thing. I don't know if you guys are into Yu-Gi-Oh. I used to be.
Yo, time move.
Hey, there we go. See, I know somebody. Rami, you weren't into Yu-Gi-Oh cards or Yu-Gi-Oh the cartoon, the show? It's just not down. They not like us. All right, back to it. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. The Yankees suck right now, and that's okay. It's not okay, and like you don't have to be okay with it. But the fan base is split. There's a lot of us, like myself, saying, hey, this is the gauntlet. Told y'all, they're going to face better competition. And when you face better competition and you have injuries and you have some weak-minded individuals that fold and can't bring their A game, either they can't pitch, they can't throw strikes in the zone, or they don't hustle, or they don't make routine plays, or they don't put bat to ball, you're going to lose. The Yankees do not even look like a major league team right now. They look like the Rail Riders trying to play against these teams. 888-808-1019. So I understand if you're a Yankee fan that's saying, Keith, look at this lineup. Keith, what is this lineup? Jahmy Jones, why are they playing Jahmy Jones in the outfield, in the infield? This is what they're forced to do. Gleyber Torres, his groin. And also, Gleyber Torres is beat up. He needs a mental reset. DJ LeMahieu is cooked. He's not the machine. He's washed. He's the washing machine. They seem to think that he's going to break out of it. I don't know why they think that. You can only go with what you've got, and it's obviously revealed that they don't got enough. And without Giancarlo Stanton, without Anthony Rizzo, and on a night where Judge comes down to earth, which he's allowed to, you know, goes 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts, like, where's the offense? Trent Grisham? I made a joke before. Trent Grisham has out-homered his counterpart in the San Diego Padres trade, Juan Soto. I believe Juan Soto has 2 homers this month. I might be wrong on that. I know he had a homer in Fenway, and he had a homer in Citi Field. And let me go back and look. Either way, Trent Grisham's got 3 homers, and they've been pretty big homers. And as many people love to hate on Trent Grisham and act like he's a complete bum, we want Soto. I mean, he's forced to play. And he's got that average up a little bit. 145, yikes. This is what the Yankees are right now. So I understand if you're a glass-half-full Yankees fan that says, this is June, they're hurt, they face better competition, and you know what? The trade deadline is a month away. I understand that. And I also understand if you're a Yankee fan that says, Keith, no, it's not good enough. Brian Cashman doesn't deserve all these chances to not build this team correctly and bank on the same guys, expecting different results. This team's not going to win the World Series. It's not good enough. The trade deadline's not enough to fix it. I get that, man. I absolutely get that as well. I try to let people enjoy things, but I also let people not enjoy things. If you're the type of fan that hates the Yankees and hates yourself, then do all that and be mad and go to sleep mad. I can't do that. My life is great, and I love the Yankees. But, like, I'm really not about to, you know, watch a Yankee game where their lineup has Austin Wells and Jahmy Jones and a rookie and Ben Rice in it, and Carlos Rodon gives the game up in the first inning. How mad can you get? How mad can you get knowing that these guys flew over the border last night, landed at 4? And whether you think that's an excuse or not, that's the truth. They're human beings, and they're in a bad one right now. I think Volpe has a 9-game hitting streak. Is that positive? You know, is that good enough? You got to find some positives. Judge is going to the All-Star game. The captain is on a better pace than he was when he won the MVP. Like, Juan Soto's pissed off right now. Spike in his helmet, not looking like himself. 888-808-1019. I'm here for you, though, right? I'm here at 10 minutes after 12, embarrassed with the way that the Yankees have played after they played so well to start the season. But I'm not mad. I'm not calling out of work. I'm not ducking. I think I saw BT put a tweet out like, if Mets fans don't call up and make my life a living hell, like this morning, and I'm like, that's not possible for me. There's nothing that anyone can call up and say to make my life a living hell. This is an amazing opportunity. This is a great job to have. 888-808-1019. Let's talk to you. Mark is in Jersey. Mark, you're on the Fan.
What's up, kid? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
So, about Soto for next year, you want to sign him. You want to keep him. You got to keep him. So,
I just, you know, in theory, I think that what you're seeing from Judge, part of that is Soto. What you saw in the beginning of the year before Judge got hot, Soto, I think he's a generational talent. I think he's a really good player. Does he have areas where he could be a little bit better?
Why would you want to say he's got no supporting? He has no, you know, hitting friend. There's no supporting guy. You have LeMay, who never had a.
I mean, you can't say no one. He's on the same team as Aaron Judge. So you want to keep that tandem together.
Right. Two guys aren't winning a chance. It's not working out. So
it's not working out right now. It was working out for the first few months. You know, the pitching is not working out right now. Juan Soto doesn't pitch. And, you know, the price tag that they're saying is he's going to be a $600 million man. I don't expect Hal Steinbrenner to offer him $600 million. Maybe Steve Cohen will.
Right. Also, another thing, this same exact thing happened 2 years ago when they were on pace to get 115 wins. What was it?
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't exactly, but this is similar vibes to when they fell out of it in August of 2022, and we were like, wow.
Right, and then August then. So this is the same exact thing.
It's not the same exact thing, but a similar thing, similar vibe, similar energy. Like, wow, yeah. We thought these guys were just going to cruise. And I think, you know, thanks for the call, Mark. I think if you're a Yankee fan that was alive and watching just 2 years ago, you should know that they still got to the ALCS. Yes, they got swept, ultimately. But, like, if you're going back and you're hearkening back to 2 years ago and saying this is the exact same thing, it's obviously not. It's not the same exact team. IKF is not the shortstop. Aaron Hicks isn't out there. Josh Donaldson isn't out there. And, of course, name that Yankee in Toronto. Josh Donaldson gets a feature. He's making $6 million this year to not be on the New York Yankees. Could he potentially be better than DJ LeMahieu? Ed is in Middletown, New Jersey. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing? By the way, I love you. You've always been like the most mellow out of all of the hosts, and I appreciate that. I'm not as mellow as you, and I'm one of those Yankee haters, even though I'm a Yankee fan.
Yeah, that's okay.
And I've been now for... And so here's my thing. I'm 47 years old. Mm-hmm. I've been watching the Yankees for a long time. Mm-hmm. And 25 years, Cashman's been our GM. And I actually, my friends hate me at this point, because for the last 3 years, or forget 3 years, 7 years, Cashman hasn't done anything. And like, great, we got Soto. Did we sign Soto? We haven't. Do we keep trading away young talent? We do. Do we have a young core? We don't. And I know there's a couple of young players to the point where I've told my friends, I refuse to watch the Yankees. And I actually, I kid you not, 3 weeks ago, I told my friends, I said, who do we beat this year? Nobody. Sub 500. And they all hate me. Because I said, what's going to happen? We're going to play post 500 teams, and we're going to fold like we do. And you're right. It's not the same team, but it's the same Boone, Cashman, can't snap him out of it, can't wake him up, don't know what to do in that scenario. Keep trading away young talent for one guy that's going to save Cashman's job, who's going to make it seem like everything else is terrific. It's every year, and I'm sick of it. And I haven't watched. I even told my friends, they're like, oh, you have to watch. This year's different, whatever. And I said, no. Show me June and July. And by the way, look at what's happening in July. Look at the teams that they're about to play right now.
Thanks for the call, Ed. But if you're saying you haven't watched tonight, like, I can't really take you seriously. So if you're helicoptering in right now while the going gets tough, I understand why you started the call off saying you're a negative fan. And you also said, did we got Juan Soto, did we sign him? I could tell that you're not plugged in. Nobody is. Anybody that traded for Juan Soto, nobody is signing him. He's hitting free agency. That's a foregone conclusion. Everybody knows that. And even though he said, my door is open, and they're not, like, there's no reason to. It would be bad business for him to sign. We don't know the number yet. Let's see what happens the rest of the year. Did we sign Soto? No. But the Yankees were in the front of the line. Last year when I went to Seattle and they had the Fox pregame show on the field and Jeter, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, said, I think that the Yankees should go after Juan Soto. The Yankees didn't get him, but calls were made. Omar Minaya, who has a relationship with A.J. Preller, right next to Brian Cashman, they put the Yankees in the front of the line last July. So then when we got to December and the winter meetings in Nashville, the Yankees never gave up their first place position in line to make a trade for Juan Soto. They got him. They gave up a bunch of guys to get him. And you know what? To start this season, April, May, it was like, wow, this is Juan Soto when you see him every day. Wow, he fits in the Bronx. Wow, Juan Soto is a competitor every single pitch. It has slightly changed, but you know what hasn't changed? Him hitting in front of Aaron Judge, getting on base, even when he's slumping, him getting on base and Judge being able to drive him in. Judge's got more RBI and I think a couple more homers than he did when he had the MVP season in 2022 with really not much else in front of him or around him. Ed, you said Cashman hasn't done anything, and that's just I understand how much you guys hate Cashman, but you got to give some credit where credit is due. Everybody's raving about Luis Gil this year. Yeah, he's a young guy that had two starts back-to-back that didn't look like the dominant starts he had. How did we get him? He was traded for. Gerrit Cole is back. That was Cashman's white whale. They went out and got him. Anthony Volpe being the shortstop of this team, Brian Cashman, they drafted and developed him, and then they didn't trade him all of the years where they could have. Right, this year, when Cole went down, everybody's screaming for Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery. Google their names. Just type it into Twitter, Blake Snell. See what's going on with Jordan Montgomery right now. Cashman said, no, I'm good on that. I'm good. We'll go with Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil, and we'll be all right. We were better than all right. If you want to be mad at Cashman for signing Carlos Rodon, you can be mad at him. But I think what happened there was since they fumbled the bag with Judge, and they could only sign Judge, they needed to do something else. They needed another move. And since they moved on from Montgomery, which I think was the right move still, they signed another lefty in Carlos Rodon, which most of us were saying, yeah, good. You know, we were literally last year saying this is the best rotation in baseball once we got Carlos Rodon. So to say Cashman hasn't done anything, man, he made the trade for Verdugo. Verdugo's in a little bit of a slump, but the whole ooh, 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 dogs thing, that was fun for a little while. It'll come back. To say that Cashman hasn't done anything is just wrong. Now, you can be mad at him for some of the moves he made or didn't make, but like the fact that this team has these guys, the fact that this team was able to get to 50 wins and be in first place for most of the season, like Cashman doesn't get any credit for that. He doesn't get any credit for passing on certain dudes, trading for certain dudes, getting certain dudes out of here. I don't know. 888-808-1019. I understand you're mad. But, like, if you're one of those Yankee fans that doesn't watch every day, then, like, you can't helicopter in when they're losing and be like, see, I told you so, because you're missing pieces of the puzzle. You're missing pages from the book, right? We don't have a young core, did Ed say? We don't have a young core? What the? Yo, what? Like, they're on the way. Yeah, we're like, this baseball works in, like, eras. Like, Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that Mark Teixeira was here and A-Rod was here and Carlos Beltran and those guys were aging out. And then here came the Baby Bombers. Well, the Baby Bombers, that ship has sailed. We got Judge out of it. And now there are young players like Volpe, like Cabrera, like Wells. And eventually, Ben Rice is here. Dominguez will be here. Spencer Jones will be here. All these other young names that you're hearing about, they will be here. You guys got to understand that this is a long ride. We have July, August, September, and then it's October. There is longer to go than we've gone. But I understand some of you guys are pessimistic, negative, and that's what you enjoy about it. That's what you like about it. You like being right when they struggle so you could say, see, I told you, all my friends hate me. I don't know. I get that. I get that, but at the same time, like, why? What, like, if that's how you get joy out of it, I'm going to let you enjoy that. I'm not really on that. I just think that this team gave us so many great moments early on in the season. I think that they can get back to that. I think they're more of that than they are what we're seeing right now. And adversity is good. Losing, you got to lose to know how to win. Losing is a reality check for them that it ain't going to be that easy. So when they get to October, I hope they're locked in and they're ready to go. I hope they are. I could be wrong. Maybe they're not going to be locked in. Maybe they're not. Jay is in Queens. What's up, Jay? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, you on?
Yeah, what's up, Jay? You got it. We can hear you.
Hey, brother, how are you? Listen, real quick. I'm sorry. I just got out of work. I jumped on a couple minutes ago. I think I heard one of the previous calls talking about the environment, the game last night, and some drama that was going on. So I'm an NYPD cop who was working there. You know, they subcontract us out to work at Yankee Stadium, at Citi Field, and the Garden, and all that.
Yeah.
So I do all of it. Let me just tell you something. An hour rain delay plus alcohol plus met Yankee fans equals disaster.
Of course.
I had Yankee fans fighting with their kids with them, with other Yankee fans, over the fact that they were from Queens and the other group from the Bronx, and they were fighting over where they were from, and then who's a true Yankee fan and who's not. And the same with the Mets. It's ridiculous. I'm a big fan of the Subway Series and the whole thing. It should just go back to every 5 years, let it mean what it used to mean. It lost the relevance that it had back in 97 when it first started, and they should just go back to what it was.
Jay, I'm with you. If you remember in 2021, it was over the weekend, and they had it 9/11 weekend in Queens. I went, and I've told stories about how there were fights in, like, every section. I moved to a couple sections. I'm like, people are just beefing. It's just like, it creates this, like, animosity, this negativity, because it's Mets versus Yankees, and it's people that don't even really know. They don't even know who's coming out of the bullpen.
They have no clue what's going on. All it was where are you from, where are you about, who are you with. I had guys with kids, 5-year-old kids, and we had to walk them out of the building, and they're telling their father and their mother why they have to leave. I'm like, because your parents don't know how to behave themselves. And it was on both sides, blue and orange, dark, you know, the Yankee pinstripes. It was a joke. It was a complete joke.
I stayed home. I went Tuesday, and it was, I think Tuesday it was all right. I didn't really see it get too crazy, but with the rain, I left the ticket and free parking on the table. I was like, nah, it's going to rain tonight. I'm not beat for it.
They straight got fed, nothing but alcohol, and then it was just like an hour and a half later, it was pure mayhem. I mean, if you look on YouTube and TikTok and all that stuff, you see guys like behind home plate getting escorted out.
Yeah, what?
Pitches,
do you know what that guy did? The guy that was literally viral in handcuffs?
They were fighting with staff. There was guys assaulting staff. There was the guys assaulting other guests. It was a crap show, to say the least. I don't know if I can say it on your show. I apologize. This is a disaster. So listen, like I said, I've worked for the NYPD for 25 years. I work in all the venues on my side gig. It was the worst night I've ever experienced. It was like
recipe for disaster.
A detail on steroids.
Recipe for disaster.
And it's just like, but it's adults with kids to fight. It's like all about like yo, grow up. And you know what? The bottom line is that I'm a big Mets fan. I grew up in Queens, 5 minutes from Shea. But these guys don't give a rat, you know what, about.
Oh,
about
I know.
You, but like,
it's a ton. Beer muscles and tough guy talk and wanting to mix it up and just mano-y-mano and pride and it's nonsense. Jay, thank you for the call and the insight. Like I said, You're a fool to put your hands on somebody in the ballpark. There are extra police there. And the reason that they moved the Subway Series to Tuesday and Wednesday is because they're thinking folks are going to drink less, be more responsible, have work the next day. Not everybody. There are some people specifically showing up there looking for a fight. And, like, I get fandom. I get banter. I get yelling at the other fan base. You suck. This is that, whatever. But there's got to be a line. There's always got to be a line. But grown men with kids are willing to cross that line. It's not that serious. That's why I try to remind people a couple nights ago. I'm like, we are grown men watching other grown men that are millionaires play baseball. And, like, you're not a millionaire, but you went to the game. You paid $200 for a ticket, and now you got to get a lawyer. Now you got to pay your lawyer $2,000 because you got an assault charge in Citi Field. That's dumb. That doesn't make any sense. Mike is in Connecticut. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. I'm a big-time Met fan. I've been a Met fan. I'm 65 years old, so I remember 69, the World Series, you know, which is when I really got hooked. I was around for 86. And, I mean, I don't like to back the Yankees because, I mean, I think these competitions are really good for the area. But I felt so good about this team for the whole month of June now. Since that, when they got swept in Los Angeles, those three games, there were 11 games under 500, and everybody was writing them off saying, this is it, we're going to be sellers at the trade deadline and get rid of Alonso, get rid of this one, get rid of that one. And they have this players-only meeting in the clubhouse. They kind of turn things around. You know, the manager moves people around in the lineup. He's got, you know, Lindor leading off. And all of a sudden, they're playing like a whole new team. And we still don't have, you know, our best pitcher. He's still out hurt. You know, God knows how much longer he'll be out. But I'm just so impressed with how this team has really pulled it together. And, I mean, you know, I'm not bashing Yankee fans. I mean, I have a lot of Yankee fans. And, you know, they were hammering me pretty good when we were getting beat. And they were, you know, 25 games over 500. But I'm just really impressed with everybody in this team has really just kind of come together. I mean, I think you see the camaraderie in the bullpen and the camaraderie in the dugout, on the field. These guys are all pulling for each other. And, I mean, I love watching them play. I mean, and you know, I'm a Met fan for, you know, the better part of 60 years. And I love watching them. I mean, I've been through good years with them. I've been through really bad years. And it's just really great to see them again. And I don't want to bash the Yankees. I mean, their fans are bashing themselves, you know, bashing their team enough. It's just really been great to watch this turnaround. And, you know, it was great seeing Boone and the Met skipper, you know, hashing it out, kind of just, you know, catching up on stuff. But when the game started and the players were out there playing, it was just so much fun to watch. I got a little scared the Tuesday night game when we went from 9-2 to 9-7. But, you know, last night's game, it was just, you know, kind of a laugher from the start. But it was great watching them. I mean, I can't wait to see when we get to Yankee Stadium and what happens with that end of it. But, you know, the Mets looked really well, and they played well. And, you know,
keep
hopefully
it going.
They continue.
Keep it going tonight against the Houston Astros. Thanks for the call, Mike. I was talking to a couple of Mets fans online. Most of them are arrogant, the ones that are hiding. Most of the ones that are anonymous just to say anything. And I'm the type, I'll engage. Like, I'm on there to talk to people. It's a written platform. Like, I reply to everyone. I don't go on Twitter thinking I'm too good to reply to people, and I'm not selective. I write back. That's how I built my following, the 36,000 followers on Twitter, talking to people. I guess I'm one of those rare people in media you can actually at and, like, yeah, I'm going to respond. Whether it's positive or negative, I'll talk to you. But there was this one guy that I was talking to, and he's like, you know what? He's like, Mets fans are crazy right now. They're talking about, oh, George Steinbrenner would be rolling in his grave. What would George do? It's not about that. What it's about is how this Mets team was 11 games under 500, how this Mets team was left for dead, and talk about Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. Half the Mets fans are saying it's early. They can still come back. They can get back to 500. And other half of Mets fans, nope, here we go again. They punted on this season. David Stern sucks. Steve Cohen is a joke. It's still like the Wilpons. This is a waste of time. I can't believe we don't have a season. This is embarrassing. Same old Mets. Man, props to the Met fan that understood this is a long journey. This is a roller coaster. Hey, they started off bad, but guys are going to come back. You're still waiting to get Kodai Senga back. You're still waiting to see Christian Scott. You're still waiting for the trade deadline. Edwin Diaz will be back. Props to the Met fan that didn't quit on their team. Because when you hear me talk about baseball in the summer, it's like, man, you want to go to the ballpark. You want to hope for something. You want to watch your team and they be fighting for something. You want to get to the Subway Series and both teams are competitive, fighting for something. And then you can go into the Subway Series, smack the Yankees, and you're on cloud nine listening to WFAN where Yankee fans are losing their freaking minds. Let's go to Joel in Newark on the Fan. What's up, Joel?
Hey, how you doing, Keith? Love you on MLB Network. Love you in One Bleacher Report. You're one of my faves, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm listening to all the other calls, and the Mets fan guy, the Mets fan, they're like, I don't know if you've seen the this little Family Guy skit where, like, Stewie's talking about being a Mets fan, and it's really funny. You should check it out. It's like, first pitch, and the season's over. That's how
I think everybody's seen that.
So, yeah, I'm a tired Yankee fan. I mean, I know it's a rough stretch, but the people calling, I mean, it's amazing how they're just like, oh, the sky is falling. I mean, I don't really know what to say, but I just have a quick note on Gerrit Cole and the pitching staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. They're doing really bad right now, obviously, but I think people just seem to forget that Cole just came back and everybody's going through rough stretches, and the people that are calling talking about Brian Cashman this and Aaron Boone that.
Nothing is final yet. This isn't finite. This is temporary. Yeah. This is right now. It's bad, but people are making like conclusive statements on the New York Yankees,
yeah, like,
the front office, the manager, even me.
Yeah, like the one caller saying that he's like, oh, I hate to say I told you so. I'm like, dude, like, come on. Like, you weren't saying anything when
Don't hate to say it. Don't hate to say you told me so. There's nothing that you're telling me.
It's amazing. I just wanted to give a shout out to you, McPherson. You're one of my faves, but I just landed on a flight from Chicago. So thank you so much, and keep doing what you're doing, brother.
Joel, appreciate it, man. Thanks for the kind words. Yeah, you know, I don't just do the radio, but I carry the same Yankee energy with me on Bleacher Report, on MLB Network, on Yes Network, on NBC. I kind of was neutral on NBC. I had to wear a suit, and it's New York. It's National Broadcasting Company. It's 30 Rock, and, you know, it's Subway Series. I kind of played it down the middle. Just kidding. No, I was repping the creatures and doing what I do. I'm me. I'm going to always be me. And being me as a Yankee fan, I have seen the Yankees go 82-80. Oh, that was last year. I'll take this over last year. I watched them lose 9 games in a row last year with a bum team. Like a team that was trash can. A team that, like, we watched Willie Calhoun hit cleanup. We watched Franchy Cordero, Billy McKinney, Greg Allen. Like, we actually went into that season. Like, I don't have to rehash it for you. You understand. This is a much better team. They're missing some pieces. They're struggling right now. But, like, they say pressure bursts pipes. Pressure also makes diamonds. What happened to all the people that were saying, yeah, this team's making me feel some type of way, championship? Like, there's a lot of goofies, man. If this Yankees team pulls it off and actually does make it to the World Series and have the parade, those same fans that want to fire Brian Cashman, the same fans that want to fire Boone, they'll be outside. They'll have their hats on and their jackets acting like they never said any of that. Can't have it both ways. Sure you can. Yankee universe, that's exactly what it is. It's everything. It's Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. Everything is out there. Everything is out there. Like, every possible take is out there. This somehow, Derek Jeter turned 50, and this is his fault. Nate is out on Long Island. What up, Nate?
Hey, what's going on?
What is that, bro?
What's what?
You shaving?
No.
I don't know. It was like...
Yeah, I heard that, too. I thought that was from you.
Well, I was doing that with my mouth. Now I'm not.
Oh, all right. That's all
good. All right. Call us back, Nate. Sorry about it. Let's. Can I get another one here, or should we snap this? We should snap this. It's 12:30. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Talking to Yankees fans, talking to Mets fans, talking about the Subway Series that was. Now that, like, for the Yankees, like, we're off the Subway Series. I think we can look back and talk about. I know. I've been to a lot of Subway Series games before I was doing the radio. It's amateur hour. And I'm not looking for a fight ever. Like, I'm just, why would you go to the ballpark and fight? This is dumb. It's like you're going to catch a charge. Even like these people tonight in Toronto that ran on the field with a flare. I was listening to Emmanuel and Double R call the game, Ricky Ricardo call the game, and Ricky Ricardo's like, what is that? He's like, you know, you go to the ballpark, you're going to see something you've never seen before. A guy ran on the field with a flare and, like, lit it and had it in the air. Like, that's dangerous, but supposedly Toronto Rogers Center security was all over it. I don't know. You guys are way more bold than me. I'm just trying to sit in my seat, have a couple beers, hope for some home runs in my parlay to hit. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got 90 minutes less. Call up. Join the show. We'll be right back.
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Louisiana. Murder on the beat. Something for y'all to cut up to, you know? Yeah.
Hey. Everybody, get your roll on.
I know shorty and she doesn't want no slow song.
See, Drake has all-time bangers, bops like this. He's lost a couple rap battles, but he's still undefeated. Never lost, like... This will ring off. There's chicks that love this song. They don't know any of the Kendrick beef records, Pusha T. They don't care. I've been to the Drake concert. I know what the chicks look like in there. They don't care. All right, right back at it on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. I'd like to get to the calls fast, quick. Obviously, we're talking about the Yankees. I don't know what type of analysis you want. They're cooked right now. They can't pitch. They can't hit. They flew to Toronto. And I guess even Judge was tired. He's allowed to be. Soto was pissed off. Volpe got a knock to continue his streak. But when you start to get lower in this lineup, I mean, Trent Grisham, the nine-hitter, cashed in. But it was too little too late. The game was over in the second inning. They gave up five in the first, three in the second. Rodon is soft. Rodon is mentally weak. He's not a stopper. He is a guy that when everything was going good, he was pitching good. But when you need a guy to go out there and set the tone on the mound, when you need a guy to go out there and stop the bleeding, it ain't him. 888-808-1019. The Mets are about to face the Houston Astros. I'll be watching every game of that series. That's a collision course between two teams that are 500, but they're not really 500 ball clubs. You feel me? Like, there are two teams that should be better than their record says. And now that we're in this, like, second half of the season, they're both making a postseason push, and I think you're going to see some really good baseball, and I'm interested to see what the Mets do, and if the Grimmets continue to be undefeated at Citi Field. Mets fans, tap in with me as well, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tim in Toms River. Tim, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith?
You know, hosting a show.
I think they're slumped. They're missing Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton was coming up clutch. He had his home runs, clearing bases. He had his base hit. It's getting hot.
I don't want to minimize the value of Giancarlo Stanton because he's having a great year, but it's not just Stanton. They've won some games with Stanton out and Judge DHing, and I mean Stanton only hits. He doesn't play the field. He doesn't pitch.
And Alex Verdugo is also playing.
Alex Verdugo is struggling. Alex Verdugo, like I said, he broke his 0-for-22 skid in a meaningless, you know, couple knocks second game of the Subway Series. But after he had that homecoming, which he said, of course, he had circled. He couldn't wait to go back to Boston and shove it up, you know. So he did that, and it seems like he needs to circle another date. He needs to have another date picked out where he's going to turn it on because they absolutely need that guy to return to form. When you start to get lower in this lineup, it's not good enough. Where Ben Rice is a rookie. Jamai Jones is like, Jamai Jones supposed to be a pinch runner. It's not good enough.
And you're saying for Gerrit Cole, they all felt like Carlos Rodon, the whole pitching staff, but they had to play up without Gerrit Cole. The second he came in, they all...
Yeah, I was trying to find the words for it. It was almost like they were carrying the weight. Right? All right, our ace is down, and they knew he was down in spring training, and they all kind of you know, picked up some extra weight and said, all right, I'm going to be that much better. And then when Cole comes back, maybe they relaxed a little bit. Not Nestor.
Nestor's still hot. He's doing his thing.
I mean, Nestor is a dog like that, and I don't think we put enough respect on Nestor Cortez's name. Not Nestor, but like Stroman in Boston, embarrassing with the stolen bases. You know, Stroman gave us a good one against the Braves, so I won't throw him under the bus. He stood up when we needed him to. Maybe he will again tonight against his former team. I'm excited for that. Maybe Stroman will stand up again for the Yankees back in Toronto where we used to face him against, you know, Kid Cudi, Kid Kikuchi, Yusei Kikuchi. I don't know, man. They need something right now. And I think Stroman is the type to stop the bleeding. But as far as Carlos Rodon, he's mentally soft. And I'm saying that because, like, I'm not the type to be like, oh, I'll give him a break because he cried. Like, man, cry when I don't even want to get into it. I just think that's super weak. And then even some of his emotions tonight. Thanks for the call, Tim. Some of the things, I was watching him closely, his facial expressions and the woe is me look and staring at the ball. Like I said, IKF almost took him deep. I'm like, IKF revenge game. IKF's revenge game was getting hit by pitch three times. I'm like, yo, if IKF takes you deep, come out of the game. Cool Dad was about to take him out of the game. And I jokingly call Boone Cool Dad because he is. He actually is a dad, and he's cool. And, like, I think that's his approach with his players. And so when some of you guys want him to tighten up the players, Cool Dad isn't the authority figure that the players are shook of, right? Cool Dad isn't the authority figure that can yell. Because when Cool Dad yells, it's like, you're not really mad, are you, Dad? Yeah, he can be mad. But I think what you're seeing with Gleyber Torres being benched, too, is his groin issue. They're treating him. And they're trying, all right, you say, we're going to take your word, right? The game's not beating you down. You're not hustling because you're hurt. You're not hustling the first because, you know, we've seen this from you before in the past where you just, you're down on yourself and you're out of it. You're doing that because you're hurt? All right, well, we'll give you 2 days off. He'll be back in the lineup. Let's see. The sun will come out. Tanaka. Antonio in Kings Park on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith.
Hey.
So I just want to talk about how the Yankees, they can't pitch. These last couple games, they've given up like 40 runs, and their hitting is just all Judge and Soto.
And it barely is Soto. It's all Judge. Judge is ridiculous. And you know, two guys can't win you many baseball games. Right now, the Yankees do not look like a Major League Baseball team. They look like bottom feeders, and that's remarkable from where they were. They were just being called the best team in baseball. I think I have a drop playing on WFAN talking about, do I think they're the best team in baseball? Yeah. How quickly 2 weeks can change that?
Yeah, last year when Rodon blew the kisses to the fans, I called you and I complained about him then, and same thing tonight.
Mentally weak. You let those guys get to you in Anaheim on the road. Like, you're acknowledging fans. Like, you are a millionaire pro ball player. It took so much for you to get there. How can you be so feeble? Thanks for the call, Antonio. Like, how can you be so feeble? Like, Jeff McFeeble. Jeff McFeeble is cursing and punching in the air and grounding out and popping up and running the first base and yelling F-bombs, looking feeble. Hey, get it together, bro. Get it together. Luckily for Jeff McNeil, he's got squad around him. He can kind of just fall back. Nobody on the Yankees can fall back right now. Everybody's got to step up. Every guy on that team has to step up because they're missing so many guys. They're missing Stanton. They're missing Rizzo. They're missing some arms. And I don't know, the captain, Aaron Judge, he can only lead by example so much. I hear a lot of talk about Boone, the manager, needs to wake these guys up. Boone, the manager, needs to get these guys out of it. Okay, well, I don't know. I think when you hear Boone in the post game, and he kind of says, yeah, we got punched in the mouth. It's good to get punched in the mouth. It's adversity. How long? Because, like, I don't know if you guys have been in any fights. You might get punched in the mouth once or twice. You can get punched in the mouth the whole fight. You can get knocked out. Peter's in Manhattan. Peter, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Peter?
Keith, you know what I wanted to ask you? I hope your son is good and the family's good. What I wanted to ask you, I mean, you make a good point. Listen, the Yankees aren't as good as they were at the beginning. Otherwise, they would win 130 games. And they're not as bad as they're playing now. Otherwise, they'd win 60 games. So my question to you, Keith, is what worries you more about the Yankees? So, you know, we average it out, so maybe the Yankees win, you know, 95 to 100-plus games. At this point, without any changes, without any trading deadline, what worries you most? What's what worries you? Is it the pitching
now
or the hitting?
Now it's the starting pitching. Now
that's
it's the starting
pitching. That worries you more than the hitting, correct?
Right now it's the starting pitching. And I know everybody's saying, Keith, it's the lineup 4-9. Well, like, if you're just going off the last few games, the starting pitching giving up runs first before they can get going.
All right.
Like, I don't know. Let's just go back. Rodon was terrible tonight. And Luis Gil didn't have it. And Garrett Cole didn't have it. So, it's,
right.
I don't know, you know. It's
and the relief also.
And exactly, the bullpen. The bullpen's getting a break right now because the bullpen's coming in. And it's like, you guys are cooked, man. We're just trying to get some outs. Like, whatever. It is what it is now. It's all bad.
All right. Keith, thank you so much, and I hope Jackson's doing well. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Peter. Jackson is doing great. He is the cutest kid I've ever seen. He can walk now, and I'm like, man, now he's got his confidence. He's walking all around the house, and, like, he screams in the morning, and I get up, and when I walk out, he says, da-da. That's his favorite word. That's the word he says the most. It makes me feel good, man. It really does. All this radio stuff, TV stuff, social media, whatever. What makes me feel the best is my boy, like, da-da, with authority. And my wife feels some type of way. I carried you. I feed you. I take care of you. He doesn't really give her. I'm like, come on, give her a mom. Give her a mom. He's like, mom? No. Da-da. I'm like, my man, wait till you get a little bit older and you actually know who Dada is. I'm going to keep working for you, bro. We're going to be all right. Let's go to T-Neck and talk to Derek on the fan. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Keith. I'm a Mets fan. I'm about to call my dog Grimace. But we all know it's really attributed to Alvarez.
El Troll. His nickname doesn't stick that much, El Troll.
You know, it's not always a good thing to be a troll, right? I guess. He's fearless, man, and he's in every at-bat. He wants it, and, I mean, he makes a two-run difference for a pitcher when he's behind the plate. You saw in the Yankee series even, you know, two bases loaded jams. That has everything to do with him keeping the pitcher calm, showing leadership.
It's his energy. It's infectious. For a 22-year-old kid to play like that, it's like he refuses to lose. And all of these older guys around him, they have to pick up their energy level to match his. He is the alpha. It's crazy when you watch the Mets. I know they have guys like J.D. Martinez that have been the change, and Lindor is a leader. But that kid Alvarez has a tattoo across his neck that says the best. He's one of the best.
No, I think he's our difference maker. You know, like you said, I think he brings the juice and really elevates, you know, everybody around him. He hustles everything out. And, I mean, to get to the Yankees a little bit, I think everybody needs to take a deep breath. It's a long baseball season. You guys still won, you know, almost 60 games, almost 20 games over. You learn from losing, too. And, you know, certain guys will step up to, you know, end this streak. And, you know, hopefully that translates maybe into more postseason wins, you know, later on down the road. But even in the Mets series, right, you had two first innings with bases loaded. You're one hit away from being up 2-3-4-0. It didn't happen. But I do think that 1-5, they are going to get on base. And my dark horse that I think is going to make a difference than a lot more people think, I do think J.D. Davis, once he settles in, he's a hitter. And he can give you some quality at-bats.
Maybe. Thanks for the call, Derek. I don't know. J.D. Davis, I think it's going to take too long. Like, we need this now. We need an impact now. And I didn't hate the move. He's a veteran, but, like, we need help right now. It is turning into 911 emergency. The Yankees are on life alert. Like, if they lose tomorrow, like I or tonight, I honestly think, like I just said, you know, Stroman being a former Blue Jay, being back on that mound, he's got the mentality. Stroman is the opposite of Rodon. He's mentally tough. He's always been one of the smallest guys on the team. and he's overcome that. His whole thing is height don't measure heart. He's a New Yorker. So he just off the fact that he came from here and made it to where he's made it, I expect him to hold it down against the Blue Jays lineup. I don't expect him to look so mighty tonight.
You don't like that Rodon asked to stay in?
No, so when I was watching the game, I was laughing, honestly. I like that Rodon locked in because I was calling him mentally weak. I'm like, this guy's mentally gone. And when I said that, he gave up the second homer to Springer. And I'm like, and I'm watching him pitch, and I'm like, this guy, his fastball is getting rocked. And he's trying to do other things, and he's hitting guys, he's walking guys. It's like he couldn't catch a break. But I'm like, this guy's mentally gone, where you could see his body language and his emotions. I'm glad that he did not weep on the mound. I'm glad that he just locked in and realized the game is over, but I got to give us some length. This is a 4-game set. And then even pushing back against Boone, some were like, Boone's a fool, Boone's soft, Boone's weak. I'm like, no, Cool Dad actually prevailed.
I like that from Rodon.
Like that Rodon was like, let me finish it, right? I blew it for us again, but like, let me get these last two outs. And Cool Dad said, yeah, you got it. The game's already over. You got it. I won't take the ball from you. And that's why I made the analogy before. Like, Cool Dad said, yeah, all right, stay up for another hour. You can play a video game, but when I wake up in the morning, everything better be put back. It better be clean down here. Like, I'm going to trust you. And Cool Dad woke up the next day, let the kids play for another hour, and everything was clean and everything was good. Cool Dad prevails.
Yeah, that reminds me. My dad, like, his office used to have the biggest TV screen, so I would play video games in there. And he'd be like, all right, you know, but as long as the office is clean in the morning when I got to get to work, you know?
A deal is a deal. I'm not there yet. When my kid gets older, I'm not going to be Cool Dad. I'm just going to be, I'm going to be the hard line.
He likes you authority. Now.
Yeah. He doesn't, though. Even, like, you know, little baby stuff, I'm already, like, I'm gripping his neck up. I'm telling, hey, don't waste my food, bro. Don't throw the food on the ground, bro. I pay for that food. I eat that food up for you. Eat the food. Boone's mentality and his style as a manager, judgy and glaby, and you know what I'm saying? Like, we've come to see this and know this, and I've gotten to talk to Boone a couple times and be around Boone, and like, I'm not criticizing him. That is his approach. They win games, and these guys do respect him and do want to play for him, but it is hard to change course to be the hardline Billy Martin. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody wants Billy Martin. And it's like, not everybody's style of managing is that way.
What's funny is Mendoza, who, you know, worked under Boone for so long, seems to be more of the hard, you know, keep guys in line type. It's interesting.
But see,
no?
Mendoza is like steady and even keeled, where like he doesn't really, I don't see him getting mad. I don't think he yells, but I think he's got the authority where it's like, you don't want to upset him. Right. You don't want to see him get that way. And like when Jorge Lopez had the whole thing and he talked about, we have standards here. Like, he said that like he meant it. And he was new there, but he basically meant like, yo, you did something that I didn't like. You're gone. And I'm going to make an example out of you for the rest of these guys to know I'm not playing. I'm the manager. I'm the boss. And even when they were struggling, he didn't dip down into it. There are Yankee fans. They want Aaron Boone right now to say, we're going to turn the corner and hit the table again. And I felt like a couple years ago when Boone had to say it, it's right in front of us and smack the table. I felt like that was performative. I felt like he didn't really feel like that, but he had to give the pound of flesh to the fan base because his Yankee fans are out of control.
I did think the Mets' turning point was when Jorge Lopez was cut, though. I mean, if you look back to it, that's when they turned it around.
Because you know what I said about the Mets? I said their manager, their president of baseball operations, and their owner are now all in lockstep. They're all on the same page. I think the same thing exists for the Yankees as well.
Same thing for the Knicks, by the way. I mean, that's what you're seeing with that trade, right?
I mean, I've tipped my cap to the Knicks too many times. This is the best offseason the Knicks have ever had. Coming off of one of the best seasons the Knicks have ever had. Like, I just, for the New York Knicks to be so dysfunctional for so long, to be what they are now, where, like, I legit think that they can contend with the best teams in the NBA if they're healthy. Like, the Garden and all the hype and all of that is going to build to a ridiculous level in New York like we haven't seen.
It goes deeper. I trust them. When was the last time I was ever able to say that I trust the Knicks front office as a Knicks fan? Never in my life.
Well, here it is. What goes around comes around. Stay down till you come up. And I know there are a lot of pessimistic fans that love to hate the team, right? But, like, think about all of the years that you hated the Knicks. You were embarrassed about the Knicks. You don't feel like that now. It was worth it, right? So there are a lot of people that jumped ship to be Brooklyn fans. Now they're trying to get back in the door, and the Knicks fans are like, hell no, stay down there. Flatbush in Atlantic.
Enjoy your picks.
All right. 888 808-1019. I've got 1 hour to go if you'd like to join the show. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.